The title for this week's blog is called, Would the Real Heretic Please Stand Up? And we're going to start in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. So if you'll turn there with me, 2 Peter 2 and verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, and the word heresy there, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So here we have the Lord and them whom he bought, and he is the Lord, and we're the ones that he bought, and any other order is heresy. And then in Galatians chapter 5, and I'm going to read verse 19 through 21, and then I'm going to read verse 24 through 25. This is Galatians 5, 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. It's a pretty long list, but he covers even more that's in that list when he says, and such like. That means anything that falls in this category. And then notice again the word heresies there that was used, and also Peter. So in Galatians here, we see that there is the flesh, but we also see that there's the flesh and what it produces, specifically things that it's producing. Of course, the cross deals with the nature of Adam, and it deals with the fleshly tendencies. And that's verse 24, still of Galatians 5. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So, basically, it's saying whatever we have found as truth, whatever things that we have found as truth, particularly pertaining to the cross, let us walk in it. Again, let me just read that. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So you can call those things crucified tendencies. Now, on a little further, over in Galatians 6, verse 7 through 9, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. A lot of people are leery of this verse. They don't like the thought of reaping what you sow. But it says right here, and he kind of includes himself with everybody he's talking to. He says, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall let the Spirit reap life everlasting, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, in Galatians 5, he was dealing with the manifestations of the flesh. So it is true that if you release anger, or you release lust, or you release deceptions or manipulations, or getting back at people, or, you know, hurtful words to someone or hurtful words about somebody, then you are sowing. You are sowing. And of course, Scripture just said, what you sow, you will reap. And of course, this is an important point, is that you don't plant one seed and get one seed back. Everyone knows this from just planting a harvest. If you plant a wheat seed or anything else, you get a whole bunch more back. And so there is this lack of really comprehending harvest and sowing and the little things that we would call little things. But let me point out now one that I think is bigger than that. And this is out of 2 Kings. And I'm just going to read, this is 2 Kings 15, and I'm going to read various verses here, starting with verse 8. And this is about Shalom, that's his name, and he dethroned Zechariah. In the 38th year of Zechariah, king of Judah, did Zechariah, the son of Jeroboam, reign over Israel in Samaria 6 months. So we have him reigning for 6 months. And then verse 10 and 11, and Shalom, the son of Jabesh, conspired against him and smote him before the people and slew him and reigned in his stead. And the rest of the acts of Zechariah, behold, they are written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Israel. All right. So, this is one man who is reigning on the throne, and another man comes along, and he dethrones him. So now we have Shalom, and he's on the throne. Okay? And then verse 13 through 15. Shalom, the son of Jabez, began to reign in the 39th year of Uzziah, king of Judah. And he reigned a full month in Samaria. Okay, so this guy kills somebody, dethrones him, sits on the throne, and he reigns a full month. For Menachem, the son of Gadi, went up from Tisra and came to Samaria and smote Shalom, the son of Jabez, in Samaria and slew him and reigned in his stead. So he reigned for a whole month, and then somebody came, and he reaped what he sowed, see. And then it says, in the rest of the acts of Shalom and his conspiracy which he made, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. Pretty much this is saying the only thing that's going to be written about this guy, because he only reigned for a month, is the conspiracy that he did against somebody else. All right. So there's some interesting stuff here, because Shalom's thing that he did, and this is just a side note, the thing that he did actually fulfilled a prophecy against someone else who was reaping what he sowed. But because Shalom's spirit was wrong, and because his attitude wasn't the Lord, but he wanted to reign, then he reaped what he sowed, regardless of whether he was, quote-unquote, fulfilling prophecy or not. See, the deal is, we're not supposed to be fulfilling prophecy. That's not the most important thing. We're supposed to be living by Christ. All right. So we look at these guys. Look at these bad men, and they have... what are they doing? They are dethroning other men because they want to rule and they want to reign. And and so we see that situation. And the thought came to me in this whole thing is, do we continually usurp Jesus' throne? Are we see how bad these guys are and the treachery. But do we dethrone Jesus in our own lives? Do we take him off the throne and we start reigning again? And however bad that was, how bad would it be to dethrone Jesus? So Galatians 6:7 again says we will reap what we sow. But a lot of times when we read that scripture, we think of small sins. But what about dethroning Jesus? What about the heresies of putting ourselves first? All right, so reading out of Psalm now, Psalm 24, verse 6 through 9. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. shall come in. Note that. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. This is another verse down from the first one. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And so we see that the scripture isn't calling for the King of glory to come back. It's not saying come back in the clouds or come back for us. It's saying open your doors and let the King of glory, let this King, Jesus, rule in us. Let him, because of the crucifixion, we have crucified. See, that's what the scripture is saying. We have crucified the lusts and the affections and all of the things that were listed in the example there in Galatians of the works of the flesh. And all of the things that rose up in the men that would overthrow other kings and dethrone them. All of those things have been dealt with by the cross, but it's dealt with by Christ crucified. It's dealt with by the King ruling in us and us not dethroning him when we don't like something or we don't want, you know, we want our way in a situation or whatever. And so we think we're just not being as Christian at that moment, but in reality, we're dethroning Jesus. We're dethroning this life. And so the scriptures are saying, let him come, let the King of glory come in. Stop dethroning him. And so I wrote, are we heretics and hypocrites because we condemn these who dethrone kings? Are we heretics because, you know, you could say, well, they did that because they wanted to rule. That's why we do it to Jesus. We dethrone him because we want to rule. Because we want our way in a certain situation. And to us, it's just, well, I just slipped. I just let the flesh come forth. But really, we're dethroning Jesus. We're putting ourselves on the throne. And, you know, yeah, they did it because they wanted to rule, but that's what we're doing too, because we want to rule. Because, and we do the same thing that these guys did once, but we do it constantly to Jesus. So in that sense, you could say, would the real heretic please stand up? And who is that? That would be us. That would be us condemning things we see in Old Testament people or in New Testament people and not realize, because we would think, well, I would never go in and kill the president or kill the prime minister and try to take over. Well, we're doing it worse. We're doing someone higher than that. We're doing it to Jesus. And so the cry comes out, let the King of glory come in. And that means let him come in and rule. That means let him do that by his spirit and by his nature. And then finally, scripture in Mark. This is Mark chapter 5, verse 38 through 42. And this is speaking of Jesus. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue. This is Jesus. He comes to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and he seeth the tumult. In the house of the ruler of the synagogue, there is this big tumult. And them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. What words that is. This is the king comes into the house of the ruler of the synagogue. And they laugh him to scorn once they let him in. In other words, they're not honoring him because they don't understand his words. And they don't understand his heart. And they don't understand the power of this simple carpenter. They don't understand him at all. So it says, but when he had put them all out, so what does he do when they're laughing him to scorn? He's not there for them. He's there for the child and the parents. He puts them all out, and he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and saith unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked. All right. So here is a situation where there's this tumult, and there's this weeping, and there's this wailing greatly, it says. Great wailing. And it's a mess in the ruler of the synagogue's house. But when Jesus comes in, his first question is, what is going on here? See, we go, well, you just don't understand. He's going, no, I understand. You don't understand, because he's the King of Glory. And we shouldn't ever be on the throne. We're scary. We are scary. Because we don't know hardly anything. But he does. And so then when they start laughing him to scorn, he puts them out. And then he, around with those that are with him in spirit, he raises her. And in our being, sometime because we have taken over rulership of Jesus and we have started making decisions to get back at somebody, or decisions to protect our flesh, or whatever the situation is, our house ends up in a tumult with all of this craziness going on. And so we say, well, Jesus, come in. And he comes in, and he has to put all that out. And so you know, let the king put out the scorners. All that is scorning him and not allowing him to reign as Lamb on our throne, put out all anything that is a scorner, that is a rejecter, that is a doubter, and live with him like the three that he brought in with him, and like the parents. He kept them with him as he moved. Let them do that. And let Jesus keep his place. Let Jesus keep his place. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just hear your voice. Let the real heretic please stand up, Lord, and we stand up and we admit we're worse than these men that would overthrow kings. We're worse in our flesh, in ways that we treat you, because you're a higher king. But Lord, we also admit that we want your son, Father. We want him to reign in us over our tendencies, and not just reign over them, not just controlling them, but we want Christ crucified to once and for all begin to deal with these things, because you said they that are yours have crucified. They didn't just ask the king to come in and rule over them. He came in his crucified nature, and he has crucified those things so that he might live and reign within us. Father, allow the Holy Spirit to tell us what that means. Allow the Holy Spirit to breathe heavenly air into our lungs. We ask in Jesus' name.